So we are very fortunate to have His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu with us today. Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay, Prabhu, you can take over. Thank you so much.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 19, text number 153. Upajiya bhade lata brahmanda bhediyaya virajha brahma loka bhedi para vyoma paya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As one waters the Bhakti Lata Bheej, the seed sprouts and the creeper gradually grows to the point where it penetrates the walls of this universe and goes beyond the Viraja River, lying between the spiritual world and the material world. It attains Brahmaloka, the Brahman effulgence, and penetrating through that stratum, it reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavana. Purport. A creeper generally takes shelter of a big tree, but the Bhakti Lata, being the creeper of spiritual energy, cannot take shelter of any material planet, for there is no tree on any material planet that the Bhakti creeper can utilize for shelter. In other words, devotional service cannot be utilized for any material purpose. Devotional service is meant only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes men with poor fund of knowledge maintain that bhakti can be applied to material things also. In other words, they say that devotional service can be rendered to one's country or to the demigods. But this is not a fact. Devotional service is especially meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is beyond this material range. There is a river or a causal ocean between the spiritual and material natures, and this river is free from the influence of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, it is called Viraja. The prefix V means Vigata, completely eradicated. Rajas means the influence of the material world. On this platform, a living entity is completely free from material entanglement. For the jnanis who want to merge into the Brahman effulgence, that is Brahmaloka, the Bhakti Lata, however, has no shelter in this material world, nor has it shelter in Brahmaloka, although the Brahmaloka is beyond the material world. The Bhakti Lata grows until it reaches the spiritual sky where Goloka Vrindavana is situated. So we will discuss this verse today. Before we discuss, we will offer our invocation prayer. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtahaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Rama Hare Hare. So today we are discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter number 19, text number 153. So this is in continuation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Rupa Goswami, and these are all very interesting set of verses which are very informative and very important for our devotional progress. So in our discussion today, we will chant this particular shloka where Srila Prabhupada is talking about this Bhakti Lata Bheej. This Bhakti Lata Bheej, which we receive by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, is very, very rare, and it is definitely not part of this material world. If right amount of watering, if right amount of shelter is given to this seed of devotion, then this devotional creeper grow beyond this material world, penetrate the viraja, go beyond the Brahma effulgence, and eventually reaches the spiritual abode, Goloka Vrindavan, where it belongs to. So in this particular purport that we just read today, Srila Prabhupada is dividing this purport into two parts. One part of this purport is what we should not do with this bhakti. Another part of this purport is what is the power of this Bhakti Lata? And we will discuss these two parts through some set of reflections. Chaitanya Charitamrita, as I always say, is a postgraduate study for devotional life. So hence, we need to understand that these words that are spoken by Srila Prabhupada in these purports are very deep, and Srila Prabhupada wants us to dive into this, dissect into it, and learn lessons for our devotional progress. This is not some superficial study. This is a serious business. So hence, let's give our attention whenever we go through these wonderful purports of Srila Prabhupada. So the first portion of this purport, Prabhupada writes that how this Bhakti Lata Bheej that is being given is coming from the spiritual world, and this creeper does not take shelter of any tree. Prabhupada says that because this creeper belongs to the spiritual world, then the creeper generally needs a tree to latch on. So the creeper is going up and up and up, searching for the right tree which is not available in the material world. The creeper has got the potency to penetrate all the layers of material elements, all the layers of impersonal elements, and eventually reach up to the spiritual abode to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet where it actually rests upon. So the example of the non-availability of tree, and Prabhupada further explains that hence we should not utilize this devotional creeper for accomplishing materialistic tasks. It's a very important message, and it is a very subtle and deep message, and very much relevant for practicing devotees. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, an analogy has been given: a snake, which is generally poisonous, but a snake with a jewel is more poisonous than another one. The jewel on the hood of the snake is so attractive that because of the attraction, people get bitten by the snake. So Srila Prabhupada very strongly communicates, though in a subtle way, that those who are embracing this process of devotional life, we need to be responsible enough, first of all, not to mingle in the material world. We need to make sure that we are not trying to lead a materialistic life. We try to take a responsible decision and lead a spiritual life. But if you are not able to, if you are struggling to, if you are still figuring it out to practice devotional life, at least Prabhupada is encouraging that at any point in time, we should not downgrade the spiritual activities for accomplishing some materialistic tasks for our personal life, for our society, for our country, or any of the personal agenda that has to do with this material world. This quality, the reason Prabhupada highlights this is the nature of this Kali Yuga, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is such a quality where when we are not being very careful enough, it might apparently look like a devotion, but it is complete nonsense. So as we move progress in Krishna consciousness, we need to get rid of nonsense layer by layer. We may have to remove some nonsense first, and what may sound sensible after that, we may have to dive deep and remove all the other extra layers to reveal our heart to the Supreme Lord and get it purified. So in our discussions today, we will discuss some set of reflections. The first and foremost is we need to be careful about this propensity of hypocrisy, which is prevalent in the society. We can have sometime later or some other day a special class exclusively on this hypocrisy. We have done a detailed analysis on this quality, on how to recognize them, how to kill them, and what are the symptoms. But in today's discussion, at least, let's not digress, shift over there to that topic. Let's talk on what is in the current context. But one of the very important points Srila Prabhupada says, we should be careful enough not to mix, not to mingle, not to water down, not to, you know, completely deviate from the core subject matter of devotional life by bringing it to the materialistic context. Because what we are holding and what we have received, that seed does not belong to this material world, and the seed is powerful enough in transporting us to the spiritual world. If somebody mixes to this material context, he is insulting the process and he is an unfortunate person not getting advantage of this process. So the first reflection is that we need to be careful enough in shielding the vice, the shielding the anartha within our heart, which is called hypocrisy. We have to deal with it separately, but at least we should be careful enough not to mix, not to bring our spiritual activities down to the level of materialistic lifestyle. Because of social pressure, because of family pressure, because of extra educational intelligence, we may try to be very, very intelligent enough, thinking that we are intelligent, trying to apply spirituality to the materialistic context, which is what is happening in the, you know, in the normal material world. Srila Prabhupada was one of the Senapati Bhakta who came and gave a good fight, gave a good education to all the members of how to not to dilute the purpose for which this Krishna consciousness process was enunciated. He didn't water it down. He didn't dilute it. He didn't get, deviated He was very focused to make sure that each and every one of us are, you know, grounded and rooted to the purpose for which this movement is started. So we need to be careful not to mix any amount of hypocrisy, at least when we are presenting this process. You handle your anartha when we are preaching this separately, when we are preaching this Krishna consciousness, in the sense that at least we need to make sure the process needs to be glorified, presented, addressed, and taken forward in a way which is completely untouchable by our own personal anartha. And what does that actually mean? Is that please present acharyas as they are and don't add our own speculation and our own personal agenda when we are doing such an important seva. Srila Prabhupada was once in Mathura. So when he was in Mathura, he was giving a public speaking. So he said that all our devotees in this Krishna consciousness movement are very special because they have received the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Even if you give them $10,000, they will not get attracted toward the money because they are understanding Krishna's ultimate mercy, and hence they are very focused in their devotional life. So there were disciples sitting with Srila Prabhupada on the stage. So suddenly all of them, when they heard Srila Prabhupada glorifying them, so they started beaming and, you know, sounding very, you know, nice and happy. So Srila Prabhupada, as he was speaking, he turned around them and said that, please don't be so proud that nobody has yet offered you $10,000. So the point was, Prabhupada knew that this process is so powerful. At the same time, Prabhupada knew that we have a tendency to tailor it down, or we have a tendency to get deviated. So hence, Prabhupada kept on doing a checkpoint. One other time, Srila Prabhupada says that if somebody comes to an understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act upon it, his life is, you know, successful. Something like that. I am not able to exactly remember the phrase. So I am just paraphrasing. So the point that Srila Prabhupada was very particular in making sure that the process, the seed, the mercy that we have received by Guru and Krishna's, you know, mercy, the seed, Bhakti Lata Bhij, is not something ordinary. In the previous purport, Prabhupada wrote about Kama Bhij, you know, Karma Bhij, Jnana Bhij, and Prabhupada said so many things, political, seed, and so many seeds are there. But this particular seed that we have received, this bhakti seed, is unlike anything else. So please don't try to mix it. Please don't try to dilute it. So our first lesson is that in our practice of Krishna consciousness, let us not present Krishna consciousness to the outside world as something karmakanda, as something, some spiritualistic sentiments, as something which is equivalent to some demigod worship. No, this process of Krishna consciousness is a very, very scientific process. The purpose of this process is to convert our consciousness from animalistic consciousness to devotional consciousness. Hence, we should keep our hypocrisy aside, fight it out separately, but at least keep this process, present this process as pure as it is supposed to be presented. So our first reflection is to beware of our own, you know, tendency, and instead of mixing our tendency on the process, use the process to clean our tendency. So the second part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that this process of Krishna consciousness, where this Bhakti Lata Bhij penetrates through all the layer and eventually goes to Goloka Vrindavan Dham. And he was explaining about how this watering of the seed, in the last three verses, he was explaining about how Shravanam and Kirtanam are going to help this Bhakti Lata grow very nicely. Okay, we are going to discuss about four set of reflections for this second part of the purport. So number one, Srila Prabhupada explains elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam that four conclusions Number one conclusion Prabhupada says, unattached to material enjoyment. Number two, Prabhupada says, adhering to the Supreme Lord with great faith. Number three, proficient and fully aware about the knowledge. Number four, proficient in practical application. This actually, Lord Sankarsana speaks to Chitraketu. This is in 6th canto, 16th chapter, the last but one verse. So Lord Sankarsana is giving four conclusions. Between Sankarsana and Chitraketu, there are many correspondences happening back and forth. And finally, Lord Sankarsana is, before he leaves the scene, he says, after discussing all these things, I would like to give a four conclusion or a conclusive statement. And the conclusive statement resonates to this current context where Srila Prabhupada says, our ultimate goal of life is to elevate our consciousness and eventually go back home, back to Godhead, and not get carried away by materialistic attraction. In the purport, Prabhupada very nicely explains how this Bhakti Lata Bheej is something that is not supposed to be considered materially or from materialistic context. And I'll just read one portion of the purport where Prabhupada says, this is very nicely, there is a river or causal ocean between the material and spiritual natures. And this river is free from the influence of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, it is called Viraja. The prefix V means Vigata, completely eradicated, and Rajas means the influence of the material world. On this platform, a living entity is completely free from material entanglement. So Prabhupada very nicely and further says, the Bhakti Lata, however, has no shelter in the material world, nor has it shelter in Brahmaloka, although Brahmaloka is beyond the material world. So Srila Prabhupada is very nicely, you know, presenting the point, saying that the conclusive or the conclusive part of this Krishna consciousness is nothing to do with this material world. So hence, all the agenda, all the endeavor should be done to elevate our consciousness and transport our consciousness to the spiritual dimension. And the same explanation is given by the Lord elsewhere. So I'm just trying to present it here, where the Lord says, unattached to material enjoyment, adhering to me with great faith, proficient and fully aware of knowledge, and proficient in practical application. So these are the four reflections. For each of these reflections, we have something to discuss on. Prabhupada says, unattached to the material enjoyment. So how do we become unattached to material enjoyment? There are three steps. So we will talk about these three steps. Then we'll discuss on the next three set of reflections. So all the time when we churn in this topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we will definitely touch base on some technical aspects of Siddhanta. So hence, let us not get bored about these technicalities. But these technicalities are going to help us reflect upon within ourselves. So the first reflection, the second reflection, but first reflection of the part two of this purport, where Prabhupada talks about the glorious nature of this Bhakti Lata Bheej to elevate our consciousness to the spiritual world and free from all materialistic three modes. So for that, the first conclusion is being unattached to material enjoyment. And for the unattached to material enjoyment, we have three steps. Step number one is to recognize that we have attachment and pinpoint it. Don't justify or believe to the appreciations we receive. The point is that sometimes when we are in Krishna consciousness, we believe everybody's glorification. Somebody come and tell you, what a great devotee are you, what a very nice advanced person are you, what a very nice, we start to believe them. It is the good nature of the devotees that they are seeing good in us, but we know ourselves. So hence, the first and foremost step to identify or get rid of the attachment of this material enjoyment is to recognize and acknowledge that we have an attachment. Sometimes, we may tend to get carried away. I had arranged for a marriage meeting. I mean, I have this service in my place where I keep helping devotees for the marriages. Once I had arranged for a meeting for one prospective bride and a groom. So they came to my place and, you know, generally I let them speak for some time. So this boy and girl, they're meeting for the first time and they spoke to each other for 15 minutes. And then the girl came and told me that how this boy is a very nice devotee and she kept on telling some positive things about him. So then finally I, you know, sent the people off saying that let both our party think the thing through and eventually we can meet again. So then the boy came to me and said that, Prabhuji, that girl is very, very intelligent. Within 10-15 minutes, she has completely understood about me. What happened? That girl was only glorifying the boy for the last 5 minutes. How nice the boy is, nice devotee, very intelligent, kept on saying. So this boy came and said that the girl is very intelligent, that she completely understood who I am. So I feel like laughing or not, I don't know what I was supposed to. Actually speaking, this girl was being good enough. Of course, the boy was a nice devotee too. But the mindset-wise, when somebody appreciates you, when somebody glorifies you, when somebody calls you an advanced devotee, we start to believe. So when are we going to identify the anarthas within our heart? So it's a very important point when we are in Chaitanya Charitamrita reading, when we are transacting very deep subject matter in the Vedic literatures, we need to make sure that we keep aside all the upadhis, all the unwanted designations. That is why sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tatparatyena nirmalam. These are all unwanted upadhis, which is going to cause us a very big deviation from Krishna consciousness path. Anyway, there's nothing to blame on the boy or the girl. This is the nature of this material world where you tend to get attracted. But the point I was trying to say is that it's pretty much obvious when somebody glorifies you, it is important for them to glorify because they need to see good in you. But it is important for us who are the receiving end to understand these all glorifications, if at all it is true, belongs to my spiritual master. All the appreciations that I am receiving belongs to a guide and his spiritual master who is helping us. And we need to focus on what dirtiness that we have within our heart to get rid of. So the first step is to recognize that we have attachment and pinpoint it and don't justify them. The second step is we respect the Vaishnava and take honest guided introspection, which I always insist upon. And third step, which is the most important step, is establish fear in the heart and be non-pretentious, which is no hypocrisy. So the third quality is something which is going to be very important. If you do first and second, but not the third one, then we have an incomplete solution. So incorporate the quotient of fear in our heart, and that fear should be for fear of the nature of the material world. And whilst we are inculcating the fear, we also inculcate fearlessness for Krishna consciousness. So the first step, the first solution, the first reflection in this context is to be unattached to this material enjoyment. And for us to be unattached to the material enjoyment, we recognize the attachment, we respect the Vaishnava and try to take honest, guided introspection, for which we need to definitely, you know, have a active Vaishnava relationship. And third is we need to establish a component of fear within ourselves and not to be lethargic. The second reflection in this set of part is that Krishna says, adhering to me with great faith. Adhering to me with great faith. There are six levels of faith that we are going to speak about. And for each level of faith, there are some activities that we need to do. And there are some activities that are given up. In the introduction to Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada talks about cultivation of Krishna consciousness. In the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada says, cultivation means to aim for a spiritual target and also to aim to give up some unwanted things. So cultivation has got two parts. One is to move towards the target. Second is to eliminate something unwanted. So hence we are going to see the six levels of faith in devotional life. We can call it as a faith or six levels of six phases or six stages or six levels, whatever you may call. Level one, which is very obvious, which is pre-Krishna consciousness, sinful. When I am sinful, I am completely into materialistic lifestyle and all I am designing for is material acquisition. I want to acquire materialistic things. And as we just discussed, because of some costless mercy, we have received a Bhakti Lata Bheej. And this Bhakti Lata Bheej comes to us in the form of a chanting mala to you, in the form of prasadam to you, in the form of Bhagavad Gita to you, in the form of invitation to you, in the form of darshan to you, in the form of Ratyatra to you, in the form of various ways. If you sit back and analyze, why did I receive this? How did I receive this? There was no qualification that made me receive this. It was purely causeless and mercy of whoever gave, the Supreme Lord and Vaishnavas. So the first level is sinful level, or first level of faith is I need to lead a life of sin, or they don't know it's sin or not sin, enjoyment. So in that stage, what activities we do? Simply material acquisition, just go on acquiring materialistic things. Name, fame, positions, followers, etc. The second stage, when you receive a costless mercy of a Vaishnava, when you receive the mercy in the form of holy name, Bhagavad Gita, prasadam, darshan, association, whatever that is, we have just received it. So still we are sinful, but it is one step better. In this stage, by the costless mercy we met devotees and got introduced to his Krishna consciousness, that introduction, that exposure, that association, that contact brought in a change, a turning point in our life. So the seed that we received is still not sown. The seed is in our hand. Just by having the seed in our hand in itself is something glorious. And the power of having seed in our hand, what does it actually mean, seed in our hand means? Just sitting in a satsang, just hearing the holy name, just tasting the prasadam, just chanting one round of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Still our lifestyle is sinful lifestyle. But we just got some exposure. What happened to our activities? From material acquisition mode, suddenly we start to question our own self. For the entire life till that point in time, we wouldn't have questioned our own action just because of the seed that we just received. We start to question, oh, why bad things happen to good people? Why is it happening to me like this? Is it correct? Is it not correct? Why am I not supposed to be enjoying all the time? Why am I supposed to be enjoying all the time? Whatever. We start to question. Suddenly, what was obvious suddenly became, is it right? That's the power of contact with devotees. Then with that questioning, we try to slowly, you know, move forward. So, lava matra sadhu sange. So what happens? The seed is received just by little appreciation. Wow, your kirtan was very nice. Wow, prasadam was very nice. Wow, your chanting was... He is leading a sinful life, but he just lived very, very little amount of glorification. Some appreciation that fueled his consciousness to be purified, and he goes to the third stage, which is he is eventually attaining a stage of sinless life. So he is starting to think, oh, probably I need to, you know, give up something. Oh, probably I need to add something. Oh, probably I like this. Can I come for every Saturday now?
Oh, can I have more prasadam? Oh, can I distribute Bhagavad Gita? Can I read? So some positive things coming from sinful consciousness. At that stage, we start to become sinless. So this is the power of seed that we received, that Bhakti Lata bees that has come. So the bees that is received, because it is from the spiritual world, what it is doing? There is a tilling happening in the heart. The hard heart, which was very, very hard, is being tilled. Last week we discussed about enviousness. And when we discussed the enviousness, we discussed 2 points. One is heart is becoming hard and we are becoming ignorant and intelligence is getting lost. So this hard heart that we have, just because of the seed that we received, we have not even sown, what is happening is getting tilled. And with the ground being tilled, ground being conducive enough, we are sowing the seed. What is sowing the seed actually mean? That the third stage or third level of faith or third level of progress is, even though we are still learning and trying to practice Krishna consciousness, we are trying to, you know, learn something, trying to be, we are still catching up. Our characteristics and activities are not fully changed, but at least we are slowly moving from sinful life to sinless life. So sin tends to zero and spirituality tends to blossom. So this is a very crucial stage. And this is a stage where bhakti seed is sown in our heart. So now when the bhakti seed is sown, when you are continuing to do this, reading, hearing, associating, what happens? That what was materially acquiring mode, what became materially questioning mode, at the third stage, we also start to become materially rejecting mode. What you would have not rejected before, we start to reject. Oh, now I do not want this. Now I do not want this. Now I do not want this. Why? Because we are getting taste elsewhere. Ramanujacharya was once, South India somewhere. One king was very much attracted to a prostitute. He was so much so attracted that he was witnessing that prostitute and walking barefoot in Kaveri River. When he was walking on the Kaveri River, his feet was burning. Ramanujacharya was coming there and saying that, oh my dear sir, how come you are able to walk in such a hot sun? I am not able to stand, it's very, very hot. What is making you so much captivated that you are drawn towards this woman? This Raja replied, saying that, my dear sir, look at the beauty of the girl's eye. Her eyes are so beautiful that I am captivated, that no other pain bothers me because I am so much drawn to her beauty of her eye. So Ramanujacharya said, what if I show you eyes which are more beautiful than this girl? So the king suddenly got surprised. Is it possible that somebody can have more beautiful eyes than this girl? Ramanujacharya said, why don't you come with me, I will show you. So Ramanujacharya took this king to Ranganatha Swami, Srirangam. If with the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, I may have some opportunity to go there the next couple of days. I am scheduled to go there. I was there 10 days before. I am again getting an opportunity. Very, very, very beautiful deities. I hail from that place. So Ramanujacharya took that king to the deities. Look at the deities of Lord Ranganath, Pundarikaksha, lotus-eyed Lord. And when the king saw, he got so much captivated. So what happens is that when we are spiritually exposed, when we are slowly, slowly progressing in spiritual progress, material questioning mode becomes material rejection mode. What we were attached and what we started to question, now we started to reject. That's the third phase. So the seed that is sown now, now we are going to the next stage. We were sinless, or we attend our sinful activities were 10 to 0 and spiritual activities are increasing. So then what happens is that when we keep doing Krishna consciousness, we start to acquire spiritual things. We were acquiring materialistic things. Then now what happened? We start to acquire spiritualistic things. So this is the fourth stage or fourth level of faith, which is the effect of Bhakti Lata bees sown in our heart. So from sinless, we are also becoming, tending to become offenseless, which means we are slowly tending to become, you know, understanding anarthas in our heart, something that we are not supposed to be doing. So sins are only dharmic level. Now we are getting to devotional layer. Slowly, still we are, you know, catching up there. Our devotional life creeper is not yet blossomed, but it is slowly coming out. So Srila Prabhupada explains three purports before: Shravanam and Kirtanam, and in the association of devotees, will nurture the Bhakti Lata Bheej that is sown in the heart. So the stage four is the stage where we have sincere sadhana, we have honest guided introspection, and we have better application of Krishna consciousness, which means we are adding spiritualistic things, acquiring spiritualistic things, rejecting materialistic things, and the stage of watering and fencing our Bhakti Lata Bheej. What is this fencing? Removal of offenses. Off the fence. If you are doing offense, you are off the fence. Your Bhakti Lata Bheej is going to be in danger. So hence the stage 4 is a very crucial stage where we start to realize not only I am supposed to be sinless, I am also supposed to be avoiding offenses. So we are taught about Nama Pura, Dhamma Pura. Slowly we are becoming a sincere student. So that stage of sincerity, that stage of following Krishna consciousness, that's when spirituality gets added. Till that point in time, spirituality is just purifying. Now we are trying to become spiritual. So we are starting to acquire spiritual things. Now the interesting part happens next. So when you water and fence, what happens naturally? Bhakti starts to manifest. That's the stage of fifth stage, which is the stage of Sarva Upadi Vinirmuktam Tatparatyena Nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So we come to an understanding that I am supposed to getting rid of Upadi. I am supposed to getting rid of my designations. I'm supposed to getting rid of my positions. So slowly we get into the stage of devotion, active Krishna consciousness, full on application. We are no more into materialistic lifestyle. We are no more into some external hypocritical lifestyle. We still may have some anarthas, but yes, it's all getting cleansed. At this stage, which is the fifth stage, what's happening? Material acquisition is gone. And now we are also questioning our spiritual acquisition. This is a very tricky point. The reason I am talking about spiritual acquisition means sometimes spiritual acquisitions are also a disturbance to our spiritual progress. It's a very powerful point that Srila Prabhupada makes. I'll read a portion from Nectar of Devotion in a bit. The point here is, I have a personal experience. When I first came in early to Krishna consciousness days, I was so crazed after this Hare Krishna t-shirt, very nice embroidery, Jagannath embroidery, bead bag, very fancy counting bead, and we have all, these are all spiritual, they are not material. But after a point in time, they were seemingly become less important, because the focus is on how do we chant, rather than how beautiful your chanting bag looks like. But for sure, some point in time, my beautiful chanting bag was a source of inspiration to me. Good Hare Krishna t-shirt with the nice wordings were very good inspiration for me. At one point I used to have 40 t-shirts. Wherever I go, I used to acquire Krishna t-shirt, Gauranga Mahaprabhu t-shirt, Prabhupada t-shirt. Then I started to realize that probably Krishna consciousness is beyond t-shirt, beyond Kantimala, beyond Tilak, beyond having a fancy bead bag, beyond having fancy counting beads, beyond having wonderful, bookshelves in the house. Spiritual acquisition is nice, inspiring. But we go detail and start to question what to keep, what not to keep. And the spiritual questioning is very important, because Bhakti Lata Bheej has got a look-alike, which is not a bhakti. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that there is a weed which is looking exactly like Bhakti Lata, but it is actually not bhakti,
this look like bhakti.
So at the stage 5, when we are, when the bhakti is sprouting, what happens? We start to question our spiritual acquiring also. And there comes the 6th stage, which is the stage of pure devotional service. And that's the stage of fructifying. So by the phase 5, already the bhakti bij has penetrated Brahman effulgence and started to enter the spiritual world slowly. At stage 6, phase 6, it is already in the lotus feet of Krishna. Stage 5, it is just penetrating Viraja river and crossing beyond, but it's not stopping there and going towards the lotus feet of Krishna, which is fructifying. And you know that stage? There is something called as spiritual rejection. What is spiritual rejection? Tyaktva turnamasesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchavad. Srinivasacharya very nicely describing Goswami's activities. Bhutva dhina ganesha kau karunaya kaupi nakanta shrutau. What is explained? Mandalapati shrenim sada tuchavat. These Goswamis, they have given all aristocracy. Can you imagine? They gave up everything. They gave up their designation. They gave up their identification. They gave up even external symbols of, Brahminical symbols. They removed their Brahminical. They took a Babaji and only focused on spreading the love of Krishna. So I will read one particular passage from Nectar of Devotion. This is from chapter 14 of Nectar of Devotion. It's a very nice point that Srila Prabhupada writes. And it's a very deep and important point. Srila Prabhupada says, some scholars recommend that knowledge and renunciation are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service. But actually, that is not a fact. This is from chapter 14, Nectar of Devotion. You all can read. Once again, I'll read. Some scholars recommend that knowledge and renunciation are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service. But actually, that is not a fact. Actually, the cultivation of knowledge or renunciation, which are favorable for achieving a footing in Krishna consciousness, may be accepted in the beginning. But ultimately, they may also come to be rejected, for devotional service is dependent on nothing other than sentiment or desire for such service. It requires nothing more than sincerity. Prabhupada goes on further. The title is Devotional Qualifications. This is the chapter's title. So what is the stage? The stage 5 to stage 6. Is a stage where you even reject spirituality. What sort of spirituality? That which is external. And what remains is our core, pure, sat, chit, ananda consciousness. So this is what Prabhupada, this is what Krishna says, adhering to me with great faith. Where did we begin? We begin with the stage of sinful stage. And where did we end? We are ending at Krishna's lotus feet. Who did this magic? The Bhakti Lata Beej that is being received to us. So what Prabhupada explains in this purport, as Bhakti Lata Beej being untouched by three modes of material nature, what is its power? Its power is to purify the sinful heart, which was thinking to materially acquire things, to slowly make the heart question our material acquisition, to material rejection, to spiritual acquisition, to spiritual questioning, to spiritual rejection, and finally remain pure spirit soul meant to serve and only serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that stage of adhering to the Lord with great faith is what something that we need to understand. So to put it to another perspective, it is divided into three categories. We consciously avoid materialistic life. We carefully avoid spiritual extravaganza, and we purposely avoid spiritual designations. This is what it means to develop our faith. Transform from one level of faith to another level of faith. In the beginning, when we get the seed, what do? We consciously avoid materialistic life. No, this is material, this is spiritual. Then when the seed is further sown and watered, what do? We not only consciously avoid materialistic things, we also carefully avoid that extra spiritual extravaganza. So many frill components. And when we still go deeper into our Krishna consciousness, we not only consciously avoid, we not only carefully avoid, we also purposely avoid spiritual designation and aristocracy. And this last statement of purposely avoid is what I meant as spiritual rejecting, which Prabhupada just wrote, that I just read in the Nectar of Devotion. So the second set of reflection is to somehow adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord and develop faith and develop great faith through this process. The third set of reflection is to develop their great faith. Krishna says, proficient and fully aware about the knowledge. 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is asking Krishna. Arjuna is saying, my dear Lord, which is better? Worshipping you is better, or impersonal understanding is better? So this 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is very nice. From verse number 6 all the way to verse number 13, Krishna slowly educates Arjuna. My dear Arjuna, you should fully worship me. And he says, by so and so, by so and so, by so and so. If you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do this. And finally Krishna says, at least we should be eager enough to cultivate knowledge. And cultivation of knowledge means we should be ready to surrender to an authority and accept him as an authority and learn with faith and surrender. So it's very interesting to say that Arjuna questioned the authority after accepting the authority. But material education is such that we will surrender after questioning. The process of Krishna consciousness, proficient and fully aware of knowledge, is possible. First you surrender. First you show your commitment that I accept the authority, then start questioning. Not other way around. The moment we accept, the moment the heart is humble enough, the moment we are ready to be menial, the knowledge can be transformed. Knowledge can be, you know, imparted. And Arjuna did that. And Prabhupada supports that all of us students of Bhagavad Gita should walk in that path. So it is extremely important that we walk that path of cultivating knowledge by surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master, accepting his authority, then ask relevant questions. That's what I said long time back. Accepting is the first stage, questioning is the second stage, understanding is the third stage, application is the fourth stage. If you don't even accept, rest everything will not happen. And whilst we are accepting the spiritual authority, we need to be very, very careful not to hear from a relative source and be careful not to hearing from an absolute source. And the hearing should be of empathetic hearing. We discussed about this in the past. I just want to bring it into context. And the last point that Sankarishna is telling to Chitraketu is that proficient in practical application. Unless you are proficient in practical application, you will not be able to make any progress. And for being proficient in practical application, we are doing lots of practical applications. But what happens is that we do in an ad hoc manner. So I propose a simple five-pointed agenda. Record our actions and services. Review them regularly with your authorities. Revise them periodically about your advancement, in line with your advancement of Krishna consciousness. Regulate them and eventually rejoice. So any practical application means you record, which means you somewhere do a sadhana card or some amount of recording how I am chanting, what I am chanting, what service I am doing, what I am listening, how I am listening. Record it. And when you record them, you can review them periodically with your authorities, what's going on. And when you review them, you can revise them. Oh, you can do this, you can add this, you cannot do this, this is not going nicely. And eventually you regulate it. When you regulate it, you can rejoice. That's about proficient in practical application. So these are the five set of reflections from our today's purport. Reflection number one, that this spiritual knowledge that we have received, this Bhakti Lata Bheej, is anti-material, it's spiritual dimension. Hence, let us not use spiritual consciousness, spiritual processes, spiritual activities for materialistic agenda, neither for ourselves, nor for our country, nor for our community, and keep it pure and don't mix with our hypocrisy. And hence, we need to handle our individual anarthas independent and of presenting Krishna consciousness. Hence, this Krishna consciousness is not some sentimental process. It is a pretty scientific process. So we need to be very careful in handling this. Because the Bhagavad Gita, there may be 100 people who may have Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavad Gita, what we are doing is a scientific preaching, not just some sentimental thing. The chanting that we are doing is scientific activities given to us by our acharyas. The second reflection is that for us to make progress in Krishna consciousness and eventually reach the spiritual abode, carrying this Bhakti Lata Bheej to the lotus feet of Krishna, there are four important points that are being narrated by the Supreme Lord elsewhere, which when it fits into this context. Number one, being unattached to materialistic nature, and being unattached to materialistic enjoyment can happen by we recognizing that we have attachments, and by we respecting a Vaishnava and taking his help in identifying and removing. And third is inculcate the habit of fear within us. Second is, the third reflection is that how to develop our great faith in the Supreme Lord and the process. We discuss six different stages of faith, from sinful stage to the stage of pure devotional life. We started with sinful, but then we started second stage is with sinful, but still we have received the seed. The third stage is we became tend to sin less and start adding spiritual activities where the seed is sown and tilled. And fourth stage is sinless and also trying to be offenseless. And fifth stage is where bhakti sprouts. And sixth stage is where we become pure devotees. And from materialistic acquiring mode, we do materialistic questioning mode, to materialistic rejecting mode, to spiritually acquiring mode, to spiritually questioning mode, to eventually reject spiritual things. So we said, how do we consciously avoid, how do we carefully avoid, and how do we purposely avoid those things which are not helping us in our Krishna consciousness process. And last but not least, to be proficient in our practical application, we need to be making sure that we record our activities and we review them regularly with our seniors, and we try to revise them periodically, and we regulate them and eventually rejoice. And this rejoicement is happening when we are in the lotus feet of Krishna, which this Bhakti Lata Bheej is capable of carrying us, carrying the spirit soul, penetrating through all the layers and eventually reaching Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much for a very instructive class. I have comment. So it seems to me that even at the stage of bhakti, as you said, the Lata Bheej is all the way at the feet of Lord Krishna, we still have to be careful with our spiritual life, with devotion. It's not done. It seems to me like it's a continuous process of trying to stay devoted to Krishna, if that's the best way to put it.
I will tell what Rupa Goswami has mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. In Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says, till a person is in the stage of bhava, he needs to be careful, because what happens is that anartha nivritti, 95% of all anarthas are gone. From after anartha nivritti till prema, there are still some traces of unwanted things in the heart may linger around. They may not be gross. They may be a little subtle. They may be a little residual. So, like, Bharat Maharaj, he was so pure. He was in the stage of bhava. But just because he shown his attachment towards the deer, so he had to go through some purification. So, like that, we have examples of people in the stage of bhava who may have to undergo some sort of purification. So, what Rupa Goswami explains is that when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we need to be making sure that till the stage of bhava, anarthas may, you may be challenged by some residual, infinitesimal amount of quality or quantity of anarthas might still be challenging you. So till we reach prema, once we reach in the stage of pure devotional life, anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karma janavasam, that we need to be careful. Once we are in the stage of pure devotional service, then what we just discussed about knowledge, everything, knowledge is rejected, renunciation is rejected, then there's only enjoyment. At that time, the Lord becomes subservient to that person. The Lord dances to the tunes of that person. And there is no difference between the Lord's devotees and Lord in terms of their consciousness, but in terms of their loving relationship, Lord in fact puts the devotee superior to him. So the point that Rupa Goswami says is, hence, we need to be careful in devotional life and not take anything for granted. That's all.
Thank you. I have another question along those lines. So how do we as aspiring devotees maintain that? I mean, it seems so unattainable when I'm thinking, it's like, you know, climbing up a mountain and you're thinking, you know, it's just so far. It's just, I mean, how am I going to ever make it? How do we maintain our conviction and our focus and our faith basically in the process when it seems like there's so many obstacles?
I give always two advices in this. Advice number one is I give a practical example that we always say, I think in one of the previous sessions I've mentioned here. In Mumbai, if you want to board a train in the morning office hours, it's only one way to do that, which is to position yourself in front of the gate of the train. Because it's so crowded, unbelievably crowded, for you to board the train, you can't board the train by your own endeavor. Your endeavor is only one. Somehow have a knack in making sure that you're standing in front of the gate. The crowd is so pushy that they will push you in. And same is what you have to get out. Inside the train will be so crowded that in a 100 square feet, you'll have 1,000 people. So it'll be so crowded. All you need to do is that somehow squeeze out and try to position yourself in front of the gate. When the train stops, somebody will push you out. It sounds funny, but actually that's a scene I have gone through myself. And you can YouTube and say Mumbai morning local train boarding and unboarding. But the education that I say is, in our spiritual life, our positioning is, make sure that we are sandwiched between two devotees with Lord around. When you do this, when you have a devotee with you, when you have a devotee behind you, and if you nicely sandwich yourself, and all three of you have Krishna as center of your life, then your Krishna consciousness will sail through very, somehow move forward. There will be some turbulences, but for sure, that support system will help you to move progress in Krishna consciousness. Point number two, that I just said about practical application, let us learn to record our actions. This has helped personally myself. This has helped lots of devotees. You record, you review, you revise them periodically, and definitely it will get regulated. So sadhana recording is something, it's a very practical application. This is not something to make you accountable to somebody else. It's making accountable to our own self. These are my two advice.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for that class. I just want to have you repeat the breakdown of this Viraja, as in Viraja River. So V, I think you said it means to like completely eradicate, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then Raja means the mode of passion, is it?
Yeah, I mean, Prabhupada here translates as Raja as something which is not material. I mean, something material. Prabhupada says Rajas means the influence of the material world. That's there in the purport. Actually, Prabhupada, the word Rajas used in the Viraja context is that this is something anti-material, which is beyond materialistic touch. So Viraja river is a place where there is no material elements can come in, but that is still not fully Krishna conscious, like impersonal Brahman is just beyond that, which is anti-material, but still not fully spiritual. So the idea is that we penetrate through Viraja, cross beyond impersonal Brahman, and eventually reach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where Srila Prabhupada breaks this word down like that?
I can't remember it offhand, but okay. Here it's very clear on the purport, so I think it's good enough. Any other comments or questions?
You said it's very clear in the purport. Which purport are you referring to?
The purport that we just read today. Verse number 153, purport.
153?
Yeah, 19.153. I read from that only. Prabhupada says, there is a river or a causal ocean between the spiritual and material natures. And this river is free from the influence of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, it is called Viraja. The prefix V means Vigata, completely eradicated. And Rajas means the influence of the material world. On this platform, a living entity is completely free from material entanglement. This is Prabhupada's words.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Thank you so much.
Hello. Any other questions or comments?
I just have another question. So when you said the Viraja River is the Brahmajyoti is beyond that. So yeah. You know, as Prabhupada says that even then if you reach Brahman effulgence, you may fall back down. You will fall back down because you won't be satisfied in that position because of the nature of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're saying, even at the unless we reach the stage of bhava or pure love, then we can also, in a sense, fall down. Or what is the difference? What is the
like this?
That
this
sense?
Word "fall down" is a very broad and extensively used word. Fall down from bhava is a very, very heavy word. We don't fall down actually. We slip. Okay. Like for example, Bharata Maharaj, he did not fall down. Even though we use that in our context, but the paraphrasing over there is, he just slip. And the slip is not that you break your head and bleed and you'll die. You slip and you may have to, you know, control back and, you know, Krishna will save you. So the spiritual life is such that unless somebody commits a very grave Vaishnava aparadha, your journey is forward. There may be some slips, there may be some bleeding, there may be some, you know, challenges. Till somebody commits a very serious Vaishnava aparadha, which is when you call the word fall down heavily. Okay. And that also when that fall down happens, what does Krishna do is, Krishna is protecting whatever we did in devotional life safe. He's just stopping the progress till you get rid of that mentality. The moment we are purified of that mentality of offending a Vaishnava, then Krishna lets you progress very fast to reach that stage, and from that stage where you left, you can continue with that phase, whatever you can continue on. So the word fall down should be very carefully utilized. So anybody who is in the stage of Brahman realization, as well as anybody who is in the stage of Bhava, they slip. They don't fall down to the extent what general fall down is referred to. And another point is that Bhava stage falling down is not generally usual. The example of Bharata Maharaj is given as an education that we have to be careful even when we are in the stage of Bhava. we should not take devotional life lightly. Otherwise, generally after Anartha Nivritti, bhakti is not some ruthless, cruel process. Bhakti is a very enjoying process, but we need to be careful about certain variables and not take things for granted or lightly. So to enunciate this point, Krishna puts in various leela, various situations so that we can move forward. So hence we need not be freaking out saying that what if I am going to put so much of endeavor and I am not going to make it to Krishna is not the worry. The more than our worry, Krishna is worried about getting us back. So he will make sure he gives all possible support system in delivering us back. And if at all you and me are sitting and discussing Bhagavatam, and if I am speaking, with all my laundry in my heart, which means Krishna is very kind. So if Krishna is letting us speak this Bhagavatam, it means Krishna is interested in us and he will definitely make some arrangements to get us. Having said that, let us not take things for granted. So the principle is transformation of consciousness. That's what Prabhupada wrote in that point that I read in the purport. Sincerity and love is what is defining our devotional life. Rest everything else, knowledge, renunciation, austerity, X, Y, Z, whatever that we may have, called as devotional quotients, they are all just supporting tools to get a footing. Your sincerity to be loving Krishna is what is measured all the time by the Supreme Lord. Rest, dress, address, ashram, position, everything else is rejected. Did I answer your question, Mataji?
Yes, you did. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam, Swalgari, Srila Prabhupada. Very, very nice, effective class. Thank you so much for all the preparation that you have done and you have presented such a beautiful class. Two things that really struck me was, of course, the realizations were so true and so beautiful. But towards the end, when you were talking about how Arjuna, I mean, this is something we know from beginning, but I was just pondering about it today after I heard you. About how Arjuna was actually first, he surrendered and then he heard, right? But in today's system, we are first asked to research and find out, and then before the surrender, then we are asked to surrender. I mean, I was just thinking how true that process is. And towards the end, again, during the question answer session, the points you were making about slip down, that is very true, Prabhu. Thank you so much for giving such beautiful insights. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thanks for your kind words. Any other questions or comments before we end? I am already 10 minutes overshot by my time.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. And the point I like the most, that we should record our sadhana. And that had to be a lot in the past, but now I am inspired, like, we should record whatever we are doing. It helps a lot. That we can improve whatever we are lacking. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for reminding that. Hare Krishna.
Management lesson says that if you wanted to analyze, first you measure. If you don't measure, you can't analyze. For you to measure, you have to record. If you don't record, you can't measure. If you can't measure, you can't analyze. If you don't analyze, you don't improve. If you don't improve, you stay where you are. So bhakti, if you whatever is our serious business, don't we record our financial transactions? Oh, I made so much of money, this much money I spent over here, this much money I lost. So whatever we are interested in, we definitely make sure that we record and analyze. So the more you are serious in your devotional life, the more you pen down. This is not something to submit, some report to somebody. This is purely for self-introspection. What you are serious about, you will write down. So that's the reason, this is very, very practical tip. There may be some good souls who may sail through without even writing and recording. That's fine. But this is just a tip that works. So I just said that. Good luck.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
So anyone else has any questions or comments or realizations? Okay, thank you all so much for listening and encouraging all of us. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha, Kripa Sindhu Deva Chokadita Nam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindrukai Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu Ki Jai, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.